house of the Lord, and while we were singing that song, Oceans, myself and Miss Latima, our director of children's ministry, we just kind of glanced over at each other, and we remember, thank you, Andrew, we remember that little girl back in children's church. And it's just amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing to see what God can do with a willing heart. Amen. I come to you this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll please take your Bibles and turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. Joshua chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. Today's message will be, it's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. Now, before we continue, all over the sanctuary, whether you have it in digital or printed format, please hold your Bibles over your heads. Amen. Up in the air. All right, great, wonderful Miss Latima. I see that's not solitaire you got going on there. So that's a wonderful thing. And I just want you guys to know that if you look in your notes today, follow along there, is that we will cover one of those points today. Now you'll be saying, well, Pastor, if it's not that complicated, how come we got 2 weeks of this? Well, the complicated, it's not complicated at all, but you may want to write some extra notes and things as we go along this morning. Yeah, we have had such a wonderful time last night at the Illumination conference. And please keep Pastor Ivan in prayer. He wasn't feeling well last night. I see he's sitting here this morning, and I hope he's starting to recover. But if not, no. Well, then we'll pray that the Lord give you strength to make it through this evening and today. Amen, people? Amen. Amen. So if you are there in the Word of God, Joshua chapter 17, verse 12 through 18, please say, Amen. Amen. Reading. Well, that's not good news. I'm not there. I can't read from Leviticus through Joshua. You guys would just go home. Reading from the Word of God. Now, bear in mind that the people of Israel have gone into the promised land. They've had some ups and some downs, but now they are starting to conquer the promised land, to take hold of the promises that God has made to them. Verse 12, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people? Good Lord. Inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now. So Joshua answered them, if you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. There are three people sitting in your chair this morning. You're saying, well, Pastor, it must be pretty crowded here. Well, it is. There's the person that you are at the moment. I don't think any of us are all that satisfied with that person, amen? We could all use a little bit of work, amen? Yeah, don't get your spiritual faces on with me right here this morning. Look at the person next to you and say, I could use it, not you. Say, I could use a little work. Just look around the sanctuary and say, I could use a little work. Amen. All you other fibbers, shame on you. Okay, so there's a person that you are at the moment. None of us are satisfied with that person. We know that person could use a little work. There's a person that you could be for evil. Believe it or not, Christians can be used for evil. And none of us wants to do that and dishonor our Lord. Amen? Amen. Then there's the third person, the person sitting there this morning that God can use for great good. And I think that's the person we want to be. Amen? And so this message, it's not complicated. It's going to be all about that for the next couple of weeks. Just very simple, straightforward things to do when it comes to being a child of the living God. Now, when it comes to being a child of the living God, the thing that we need to understand is that most important as I begin today's message, what we are is to be obedient. You must be obedient to the Word of God. You must be obedient to what God, the Lord God, has said. You see, the very instant we start thinking about being obedient, what are we being, church? Disobedient. Amen. And so we need to keep that context in mind. Now, I want you to think about what God has told the people going into the promised land that they are to do. He had said, in no unclear words, you are to drive them out. Drive them out. And keep that in mind, that if they had simply been obedient to the Lord, we wouldn't have the troubles that we have today. You see, the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and all those ites, the Moabites, the lands where they are, because Israel allowed them to live, are the same lands this today where ISIS is in control. The very same lands. We're fighting the same battle. And so today and over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about three things which are keeping you from being and living the significant life, to be an instrument of good for the Lord. Let's fill in that first point. And I don't want you putting your notes away after we do this. Point number one, let us avoid partial possession. Let's avoid partial possession. Well, I see we have periotold up there. I believe I did that. Miss Margaret does the songs. I did that. So, Pastor Larry, any school teachers here? Scrape through that one. Miss Annette is in the back. Is that correct? Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Annette, I know you may be listening in back there. I just misspelled the word partial. Okay. Let's avoid partial, not peritial, possession. Look in verses 12 and 13 again. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened, when the children of Israel grew strong, that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Did not utterly drive them out. You see, God had told them to drive the Canaanites out, but they are keeping company with who? The Canaanites. Biblically speaking, what do the Canaanites represent? To us, they represent the power of Satan himself. It is a biblical representation of Satan battling God's people. And Satan comes with one purpose, my friends. To get us to disobey God and to do what we want and not to do what God wants us to do. That's Satan's entire purpose, to get us turned from God. In other words, he wants us to live in the flesh. Now, if you're visiting this morning, or you're watching on the internet and you're not one of us church folks, you may wonder what that means, to live in the flesh. Living in the flesh means simply do that. Living for the pleasures of yourself and not living in a way that honors God. And some people think, well, I want to have more fun by living in the flesh. It's not more fun. That way lays the path of destruction. Amen? Nothing good happens by living in the flesh. Nothing good happens in that lifestyle. You see, Satan wants us to be just like him, to sin against God and to follow him into hell. That's what Satan wants us to do. The Canaanites were demon worshipers, and God had said, in other words, thus saith the Lord, God had said they were to be utterly and completely destroyed and driven out. God wanted them out so that his people could possess the promised land. Now, we know this, what we're holding in our hands, or on our iPads or whatever. We know this as a hymn book. It is all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read your Bibles and you do not find Christ in the passage that you are reading, you are reading your Bible incorrectly. Either the points toward Christ directly or by inference points to the things that will keep you from receiving Jesus Christ. So what does today's passage really mean? How do we apply this to the Christian life, the significant life? You see, on the one hand, we have the imagery of living with the Canaanites, living on the flesh. On the other hand, we have God's plan. Possessing the land, what does that represent? That represents living the life of fullness, the Christian full life that God means for you. So I ask today, as you're sitting there this morning, I see all of my illumination people are wide awake this morning. I find that remarkable. I know you guys worked incredibly hard last night. If anybody has a chance to sit back there and doze off, it's them. You know, but these guys are rocking the house back there. You know, they did a great job last night. And they can't wait to get out there and serve God this evening. So on the one hand, on the other hand, we have the God's plan. And so the promised land represents the fullness of our life in Jesus Christ, the significant life of promised land living. And as we analyze Christian living, friends, you cannot, listen to me, everybody look up here. You cannot enjoy the fullness of Christ if you enjoy the pursuits of the flesh. You cannot. Now, I don't mean getting rid of the fun in our lives. I don't think anybody has more fun than Christians do. We are free in Christ. We are totally free. God wants us to have fun and joy-filled, rejoicing lives. The Christian godly life is just plain fun. We're the ones that can look at each other and go, really? Or we can look at ourselves and go, really? That's how I'm acting. We live fun, but we avoid those things that we Christians know are from the devil. Amen? Avoid those things. And I know that can be difficult, but God shows us a way in His Word. On the screen, you should be able to see 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. What does it say? But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, He gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Guys, God's plan for you is complete victory. God's plan for you is to live the significant life. You know, General Douglas MacArthur. Now, for some of you young people, you may not know who that was. He was a great general in the First World War, the Second World War, and the Korean War. Yeah, that guy served a long time. When he returned from the Korean War, he said to Congress, in war, there is no substitute for victory. In war, there is no substitute for victory. Did you know that you're in a war right now? You are in a war with the world. You're in the war with the flesh. You're in the war with the devil. And there must be no compromise, no substitute for victory. There's no backing up. There's no letting up. You see, I am so upset with what I see happening in some churches these days. It grieves my heart. It truly grieves my heart. The false and shameful idea of diluting the gospel of Jesus Christ and blending it in with worldly things just to get people into the seats. Listen, it's not my job to fill the pulpits. I've said this many, the pews. I've said this many times. It is not my job to fill these pews. My job to fill the pulpit. To preach the Word of God. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God's job to fill these pews. And man, He filled it up with some nice looking folks this morning. You got to look around here. You guys look all nice and dressed up and nice and clean. I'm up here sweating. I got the fan aimed toward this side because the fans aren't working over there. I'm sweating like a, how do you say, sweating like a hog up here. So anyway, the false and shameful idea of diluting the gospel. We're not, listen friends, we are not here to make peace with the world. We are not here to get along with the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are here to overcome the world. We are to be overcomers. We are to be overcomers in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, a worldly Christian, a flesh-living Christian, is a traitor to the Lord. They're a traitor to what they believe in. Now listen, I'm not talking about living the perfect life. Nobody here can do that. Some of us struggle day by day or week by week. Others, minute by minute. You know, and you have to repent of a lot of things. But there is no substitute of victory over sins of the flesh. The Bible says over and over and over again, those are the things that keep us from being the instrument of good, from taking the possessions that God means for him. We are not here to condone the flesh, my friends. We are here to crucify the flesh, to live for Christ. We have a vicious enemy, and his name is Satan. How vicious is he? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, you should be able to see that up on the screen. It says, be sober. It's not talking about don't be drunk. It means be aware. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you notice those words? It says, like a roaring lion. See, all he can do is copy. All he can do is imitate. Friends, there is but one lion, and that's the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan seeks to destroy. The Lord seeks to recover. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He is an amazing Lord. The Satan, what a fake, what a sham, what a fraud. Listen to me, guys. You don't sit down to a peace conference with something that's like a roaring lion seeking to destroy you and devour you. You don't sit down at a peace conference with that kind of a person when their only idea is to destroy you. God has a plan for our lives. Amen? Just like he had for his people in Joshua's day. And God's plan for his people in the book of Joshua was for them to properly possess the land that God had promised them. They were to drive out the Canaanites. I'm going to say it again, completely and utterly throwing them out. Why do I keep saying that? Because the Lord said that over and over and over again. He told them to do that in the book of Exodus when they were on the way. He's told them over and over again as they came into the promised land to do that. But no, they have a better idea. You ever go through life and think you got a better idea? That's what happened here. They settled down and started to keep company, to live with the Canaanites. Now, there were two types of Canaanites that they wanted to hang out with. Look closely. Wait till you see this. Look again at verse 13. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Did you get that? Look closely. Pastor Larry, we're going to go through this one more time here. I want you to look closely at what God's Word has said. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. In other words, what God's Word is saying is when the Israelites got fairly strong, they said, oh, we can handle this. We can handle this. Rather than drive them out, let's make slaves of them. Rather than getting rid of them, like God said, we'll keep them and we'll make them pay taxes. And we'll use that for the things that God wants us to do in this land. We'll use the Canaanites. We'll be better off with them in the land. Let's just set aside what God has said. We have them here, in other words, let's use them. Now, what does that all mean to us today? May I ask you directly? I would like for everybody in the church to look up here for just a second. May I ask you directly, do you have a Canaanite? Do you have a sin in your life that you think that you can handle? That you think that you're better off with? That you think that you have a handle on? Trust me, you do not. You need to follow what the Lord has said. You know, friends, I was not always the man that you see standing up here today. Now, I was saved when I was young. But I had a period of my life when I drifted far from God. Now, the elders know this, but there was a period of my life when I drifted deep into alcoholism, drug addiction. And there came that day when I said, Lord, I don't want to quit this. I think I have a handle on it, but I'm willing for you to take it away. on the spot. On the spot, the Lord took that away. The fire reignited in my heart. Talk about illumination. Talk about illumination that just exploded in my heart. And I've been on this path with the Lord ever since. I am not that man. My wife married one man and he was a good man. Then that man just went astray. And she hung in there and she prayed. And prayed. Finally she prayed so desperately, "Lord, do something with him." My goodness. My goodness. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, friends, listen to me. The thing that you think you can handle in your life that goes against what God has said, get rid of it. Say, "Lord, whatever this thing is that I think I have going on in my life, I give it to you. I don't want to get rid of it right now, but Lord, I want you to take it away." What does the Bible say in the book of Revelation chapter 22:17? "Let whosoever will come and drink deeply of the waters of life." I give all praise and all glory to God for that time. And no, it wasn't a couple weeks ago. So that got like zero laugh here, guys. Yeah. All right. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So listen, for others of people, it may not be the thing that I have. Maybe an inappropriate relationship, a questionable business practice, a habit that you think enhances your life, but you know is a sin against God. My friends, whatever you may think, you are not strong enough to make sin your slave. You are not strong enough to make that Canaanite in your life a slave to you. You will wind up the slave every single time. Young people, God bless you for serving the Lord. Thank God bless you for being here this morning. The devil is coming at you guys with everything that he has. Be aware. Be vigilant. Be aware. Turn to Christ. Put things in his lap. You will always wind up on the correct side if you wind up on the Lord's side. Amen? Look again. But that was not the only reason they lived amongst the Canaanites. All right? Look at verse 16. If you're there, say amen. "But the children of Joseph said, 'The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth She'an and its towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel.'" The Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. You see that? They were afraid of the ones that had the chariots of iron. In other words, that means strength. Those Canaanites were strong. What a mess they've made of God's plan. They think that they can conquer some, and they can live with that. And the ones that they can't conquer, they're just going to go ahead and get along with that as well. You see, they're trying to think that they, as we saw earlier, are a great people. When they've forgotten that they are great because of God. You see, Living Hope Baptist Church, friends, will do great things as long as we realize we have a great God. That there's nothing that we're doing here. That there's nothing in our ministries, that there's nothing in the bioluminescence ministry, the children's ministry, the young people's ministry, our greeters, our music, that we realize that none of that means anything if we are not fully and totally committed to godly living and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So they're afraid of the others and they're willing to live with that too. Oh, they think they can handle one they think they can handle, and the other they think they can't handle. They're willing to live with both. But listen to me, guys. If you are a Christian, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are obeying the Word of God, there is no sin. There is no Canaanite in your life that should have dominion. None. Why? Because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are His. You are His. Draw upon Christ. There is no sin so strong. There is no temptation so terrible. There is no problem so powerful which the child of God cannot overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
What we call in old church, Holy Ghost power. Get some Holy Ghost power in here. I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie. There's a movie that Robert Duvall, I like him as an actor, made. It was called The Apostle. Anybody here ever seen that movie? Yeah. Now, there's some crazy stuff that goes on in there, but this guy never lost. He never, ever lost the focus, which is serving Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he had things in his life that he struggled with, but he believed in Holy Ghost power. He believed that through Christ, he could do all things which strengthen him. Amen? Wonderful, wonderful idea. You see, there's no sin so strong, no temptation so terrible. And by the way, if there is something, listen to me closely. If there is something that the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit can't defeat, I might as well close my Bible and we can wrap up shop. The idea that there's something that God couldn't overcome, there is nothing that God cannot do that's within His nature. Our God is all powerful. He is a mighty God. He is an awesome God. Listen to me, Christians. This may freak some of you out, but when you sin, when you live in the flesh, listen to me, listen closely. You cannot say, the devil made me do it. Here's why. He can't. He cannot. You can give in, but he cannot do that. Here's why. Look again at this passage at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through who? Does it say it gives us partial victory? Does it give us a little bit of victory? Does it give it almost all the victory? No, it gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Are you ready for this? This is so good. No temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What is that way of escape? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through Christ Jesus. The reason that people aren't living significant lives, the reason that many people are not reaching their potential, is because of the absolute tragedy of our first point today. They are living with partial possession of their promised land. They're willing to live with the things they can overcome, and they're willing to live with the things they cannot overcome, and they're staying away from what God has said to do. Drive those things out of your life. You can do it. They're trying to cohabitate with the Canaanite. And some people may say, well, Pastor, what should I do? Well, let me ask you this. Have you prayed today? And when you pray to the Lord, when you ask, when you petition the Father, do you listen as much as you talk? It took me forever to get that idea down. I'd show up for prayer with the Lord, and I hit him with my laundry list. I want this, I want that. I need this, I need that in my life. And just as the Lord gets ready to answer, I say, in Jesus' name, amen. Go about my business. And the Lord's going like, yo, I have something to say here to your heart. So pray. And when you pray, in the midst of your prayer, pause and listen to what God has said. Listen to what God is saying to your heart. Talk to God about the things. So can you say this sitting here this morning? I thank the Lord that there is no unconfessed, no unrepented of sin in my life. You see, friends, we're about to take the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. And so while I'm preaching, while I'm speaking, while we have the invitation in a moment, make sure you clean those things up in your life. Say, Lord, I confess of my sins. I confess of the ones I'm fully aware of. I confess of the ones that I've hidden away in my heart. I confess of the ones that I'm unaware of, that I've hidden so deeply. Lord, I confess all my sins. I repent. Please, Lord, save me. Because, friends, those who are free in Christ are free indeed. Amen? How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. Look at the screen on John chapter 8, verse 36. It says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Man, if that ain't something that wants us to get up, hop, and dance, and run, and I could almost break dance up here. I'm not going to do that because I might break something. But may I just say this while I'm on the subject. Jesus Christ did not come to the world to save us in our sins. He came to this world to save us from our sins. Look at the screen again. Romans chapter 6. We're getting a lot of scripture today, guys. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Listen, friends. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, it's not that you stop sinning. It's that you're aware of it. And you don't want to do it. Because it'll grieve the heart of your Lord. We Christians can do, for those of you watching on the internet that may not be saved or sitting here in the sanctuary, Christians can do the same things you get, the rest of the world does. We simply don't want to dishonor our Lord by doing that. Amen? That's what pulled me back. When the Lord made me aware of that, when I said, Lord, please free me of this bondage. And He did. What an amazing God. Listen, friends, don't read into what I'm saying this morning. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about a life of significance trusting in God. I'm talking about a life where God's people are no longer slaves to sin. A life that's terrible, living with the sins that they think they're master of. Living with the sins that they think they cannot overcome. Lord, Pastor Larry, I can give this up, but this other thing I've been struggling with all my life. There must be a demon involved. No, there's you involved. And you need to give it up. You need to take that to the Lord. That doesn't mean we don't do spiritual warfare. There's an unseen world. Ephesians says that clearly. Galatians says that clearly. 1 Corinthians says that clearly. The book of James says that clearly. There's an unseen world of demons and things and a battle going on all around us. But the victory belongs to the Lord. And if you want to make sure there's no demons in your life, just speak out loud the name of Jesus Christ. When you do that, every demon in Broward County flees. They tremble where they are. They cannot be in the presence of that light. So as illumination says, let your light shine. Be the salt, be the light in this world. Amen? Get them out of here. Get them out of here. We can't, you know, and listen to me. In our own strength, we cannot overcome these things. But what is... I thought I'd just jump in here and use Jamie Toro's favorite verse this morning. If you look on the screen, you'll see Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. What does it say? Read it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah to that. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What does that mean? Well, you have to really pick it apart. You have to look at it. You'll go to the original language. And then what you have to say is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what that means. Pastor Larry, all things? All things. Really? All things. The Reverend Billy Graham, while Russia was still the Soviet Union, went to their big Colosseum that seats 150,000 people. He went there while they were still a communist country with five other people. There were six of them. And the communist that was leading them said, you see this? You will never be in here again. The name of Jesus Christ will never again be heard here or anywhere else in this country. And Billy Graham says, would you mind if we break up and just look at this great Colosseum of yours? Certainly, go ahead. Please look at the magnificence of the Soviet Union. And so they broke up into their six little sections. They walked equally apart in that place and prayed their hearts out. 10 years later, Billy Graham did a crusade in that same stadium with the Russian National Choir, military choir, singing, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. His truth is marching on." Friends, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing that we cannot overcome. I just had chills run up and down my arm. And there are some people who are listening on the internet, on the DVD, on their iPhones. They're trying to conquer their Canaanite in their own strength, in their own flesh. When God is saying, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. God is saying, listen, call upon my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't have all the answers. I do not. But I do have the answer. And the answer to whatever the problem is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the answer is found only in Him. Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look at this final passage on the screen that we have here. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, it doesn't start well for us, does it? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Aren't those encouraging words? You can look around this sanctuary. The nicest person that you think is in here. You may look around and think of the most holy, the most righteous person in here. Guess what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The pastor, the deacons, the rest of our pastors, our keyboard players, the people that pray in our prayer team. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But through Christ Jesus, we've been lifted up out of that. You see, the supreme force in salvation is not found in our works. It's not found in our talent. It's not found in our strength. It is found in God's grace and mercy. You see, the point, the most unimaginable thing to me is the point that it's not that God wants to save us all. That's not the point. The point is, why would God want to save any of us? He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. And yet He says, come unto Me, you who would be saved. Do you remember the story of Jesus walking on the water? What a great story, huh? We sang that song, Oceans, this morning. Miss Margaret had the sandals walking on the water in the background. So He's walking on the water. And Peter trying to do the same thing. And He gets out. And what does the Bible say? And Peter looked down, and he faltered, and he started to sink. And everybody goes, yeah, Peter, he was weak, and he lost sight of the Lord. Well, let me remind you that there were 11 sets of eyes still in the boat. He got out of the boat. Listen to me, guys. The pastors at Living Hope Church, the elders at Living Hope Church, the deacons at Living Hope Church, the leadership at Living Hope Church, we're looking for Peters that want to get out of the boat. We don't want to keep doing the church thing. We want to reach Coral Springs for Christ. And that's why I encourage you so much this morning, in the weeks in the past, to be here for this Illumination conference. And if I keep mispronouncing that, you guys just say, that's just Pastor Larry. So anyway, Peter tried to do the same thing when the Lord reached down and saved him. You see, salvation is the sudden, calming presence of God in the storms of your life. When God shows up, you know, when He shows up in the storm of our life, we hear His voice. We take a step out of the boat and onto the water in our own strength. And we remember who we are and we forget who He is, like Peter did. And we are aware in that moment of two important facts. We are going down and God is standing up. Reach out for the Lord. Reach out for the Lord in your life. Friends, when we leave behind our life of Canaanite living, when we confess our sins, we discover that our failures are forgivable. We become significant with a real purpose. And our promised land is not only within sight, but like Peter reaching for Christ, and Christ reaching down and pulling Peter up by the hand, saying, oh, you of little faith. But He reaches down and grabs us and holds on tight. See, all of that is within our reach. Call upon Christ. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I end as I began, saying grace and peace.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.